Welcome to Pete's Pub. I'm your host, Pete Kemmerer. This is episode 12 with a special release date of Thursday, September 4th, 2025, due to the start of the NFL season. As a result, there will not be a new podcast on Sunday the 7th. We'll resume our regular Sunday releases on the 14th. So there. Way back in episode 6, just prior to the start of training camp, I went through the Eagles roster, served up my regular season thoughts and predictions at that time. Well, since then, there have been a number of moves, a couple of injuries, and some surprising performances, or lack thereof, in the preseason. So, as promised in that episode, I'm here to serve up my updated thoughts and predictions. But this time, I'm not alone! Joining me is my friend and former co-worker, Tim Oyster, who has his own thoughts on the season and the games. Tim, welcome to Pete's Pub!
Oh, thank you, Pete.
Oh, hey, so Tim, for the audience, why don't you tell them how we met?
Well, I believe the year was 1947. Oh, the other story, not the Epstein Island story.
Oh, yeah. Stop.
No, we, Pete, I was fortunate enough to work under Pete at a company formerly known as NEAPCO. May still be known as NEAPCO, just it's somewhere else.
And it's something else at this point.
And it's something else.
And just for clarity, Tim didn't physically work under me. It was just, you know, he just worked with me.
Aw, that's special. Pete was our IT manager.
We were trying to get out of the ice ages as far as our main system was concerned. And so it was time to upgrade from what's called a flat file database to a relational database, and that we decided an Oracle, and we needed somebody who understood a little bit about Oracle. And so Tim walked in a door and it's like, hey, he understands some of this stuff. He can help us.
Hold on, Pete, a second. I'm getting a phone call here. Somebody wants to know, what is a relational database?
A relational database is a database that has relations amongst its own data. So it's kind of lurid. We won't get into that. Tim, speaking of geek stuff, what do you do in real life?
Like job related?
Or anything. Sure, job related.
Okay. I am a full-time software engineer, part-time disc golf player, part-time scratch golfer. My handicap is about 28. No, probably closer to 20. But no one measures bad play. So, happily married, father of four, one grandchild.
Good deal. You have not been replaced by AI.
Yeah. That we know of.
Or are you AI?
Does this look like something AI would draw, honestly?
So we're going to be
Five
talking
fingers.
Football today. And specifically the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh,
wearing my big Eagles eagle on my shirt.
I came
drinking,
unprepared.
No one can see this. Garage beer. It's a lime flavored. It's actually quite tasty.
It is good.
Very light beer. I think It has only 4% alcohol, so I'll have to drink many of them. I have two here. Might have to stop the podcast to get some more or go pee-pee. Ah, delicious. They're not a sponsor, but they should be. So let's talk about your thoughts first on what did we learn about the Eagles last season, the Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. What did we learn, in your opinion?
Not to jump the gun when things look bad. Sometimes it takes a little while to gel. And we saw that last year. And it all sort of came together at the end.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the first four games, it was a little salty, a little sloppy. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't anywhere near the level of play that you would expect out of a team that had a legitimate chance to win it all. And I think they saw that. And I think that they reacted to what they saw and corrected a lot of the issues and came back in that fifth week. And from that point on, we're just pretty much lights out, especially Jalen Hurts. He really impressed me on looking at his personal gameplay and his weaknesses, and he really addressed them all. I was really impressed.
Yeah, I agree. And I know we're not supposed to laugh at other people's misfortunes, but one of the top 10 comedy shows last year was the Super Bowl, as we totally humiliated that clown Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, listen, man, we're only 1-1 against him, so.
I know, but you know, it felt good, and
it did feel good.
I'm still a little salty that, you know, the low class Chiefs. Oh yeah, we're losing. I don't even remember what it was anymore. I was, my brain stopped functioning. I was laughing so hard that it was 40-8, and then oh yeah, we're gonna throw some meaningless, you know, fourth quarter nonsense. You know, they'd already dumped the Gatorade, and, you know, Chiefs are, oh, look how respectable we are. Yeah, okay.
Right. After we pulled a bunch of our starters and.
Yeah. You know, I was actually, I don't know if you saw or not, but I was actually playing free safety in the fourth quarter. So.
That was you.
Yes. That's it's how bad it how got.
Much, it's amazing how much you looked like Maddox.
Yes. From a profile, you got to get the profile.
Anyway, yeah, I agree. I'll tell you what, it was good to enjoy that victory. I think that they did learn a lot. I think they gelled. I think they came together. I think they had great team chemistry. I mean, when you get that collection of people together, it's just like a band, you know. I mean, I always look at it like life as a band, because you get people together and you get these different personalities, and it either works or it doesn't. And I think it was lightning in a bottle for us last year. We had some very vocal personalities like CJ, GJ, you know, Darius Slay, very vocal guy behind the scenes, veteran, but very vocal. Graham, of course, Brandon Graham, who talks smack with the best of them. Then he had some quiet guys too, you know, Cooper DeJean, you know, quiet dude. You don't hear Blankenship say a lot. You didn't hear a lot of these guys say a lot. Oh, and then you had Jalen Carter, too, who came into the organization as, you know, a concern, you know. And, yes. Boy, he just buttoned it up and got better as the year went on. We wouldn't even have gotten to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's arguable we wouldn't have gotten to the Super Bowl without him in that Rams game. I mean, he just dominated at the end of that game, and just he assured our ticket. He punched it. So. Yeah, he's something else. He's getting paid next year. Oh yes, he's getting paid. Yes, he is. We will have lots of money on the line as of next year. So yeah, I thought we really came together, and I think Sweat and Milton, they both played above their pay grade, and they got out and got paid now. So what are your thoughts about the team they've assembled for this year? We lost a couple of DBs. We lost a couple of line guys. What are your thoughts just in general about the team?
I could see it kind of offensively. I think we'll be okay. Defensively, I could see it taking a couple games, you know, and we're going to get into this later, I'm sure. But the schedule is somewhat unkind, and that's being generous. So, you know, we may be in for like another. You know, it's good for Philly talk radio, I guess, but, you know, a slow start. And, you know, I see them winning the games, but, you know, it's going to be a lot like last year where it's like, you know, all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, it's like, oh, we won that one. Oh, that's interesting. But yeah, you know, it's going to be another season where I feel like they're going to have to gel as it goes along.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get to, like you said, we'll get to the schedule, but the schedule, especially the first one, two, three, four, maybe even five games are going to be toughies for them right out of the gate. I mean, Dallas at home as an opener. Look, I'm an Eagles fan. Dallas sucks. Okay. As far as I'm concerned. And they just traded away their best player. But that doesn't mean they're not going to be tough.
It's addition by subtraction in Dallas. So,
the first one's at home.
Yes, but we'll get into that. No, I'm saying, as a team, it's addition by subtraction. So, we'll discuss that. I have my own thoughts about the Dallas situation.
Are they your thoughts, or will you be using the prognosticator again this year? Now, for those who don't know, which is everybody, the prognosticator is a piece of, well, I hesitate to just call it software because I believe it's at least semi-sentient that you've used for years in our annual picks, and it's been pretty effective. I mean, will you be using it this year or not?
Yeah, just some background for the fans out there. The prognosticator started as a QBasic program for those nerds. It was in its first iteration, it was 10, go to 10, and it became sentient. It was stuck in a loop and became sentient. And from that point on, it just took off. And it's been, I would say, 80% accurate. So, if you want to call my 800 number, I'll give you free gambling advice. I'm now sponsored by the league, by the way, which is totally pro gambling at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So
where they make up. Will you be using the prognosticator for your picks today?
Yes, the prognosticator now, it exists in a dimension beyond ours. It runs on the power of the equivalent of 10 suns. It was AI before there was AI, so.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm feeling less confident about my picks now, but I guess we'll have to wait and see how they match up with the great and all-powerful prognosticator, and I hope it doesn't smite me.
We'll probably be exactly the same, but anyway.
Like, actually, you weren't going to use the prognosticator this year, but it insisted.
Yes.
Oh, Tim, you don't want to do that, Tim.
Right. What are you doing?
What are you doing, Tim? Put the pen down, Tim. Okay. So, starting off with release date here for the podcast, September 4th, Thursday. It's a home game with the Dallas Cowgirls. 8:20 p.m. on NBC. Tim, as my guest, what do you think's going to happen?
Well, as I said, the moves that Jerry Jones made most recently, releasing Micah Parsons, essentially, I fed that to the prognosticator, and the prognosticator came back and said, Dallas now goes 17-0.
Because they can stop the run, right?
Yes, but no, seriously, in just almost as funny as the Super Bowl, we have the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. And as Pete and I have said, please don't die.
Jerry, yes.
Yes, because as long as he's around, it's just comedy gold. I can't see that being a loss. I don't see how it happens. Unless lightning strikes the link, I don't know. Micah Parsons is the only thing to worry about, really. You'll get, if the game's on the line, you have Dak Prescott, and we've seen him in the past. So, and the only thing to worry about with them is their kicker, I guess. So, if we get into a field goal shootout, he can kick 80-yard field goals. Yeah, if we get into a field goal shootout, we might have a problem. But other than that, I have that as a solid W.
Okay. I too have it as a win. I think that I will remind people, though, that Dak Prescott has a winning record against us, which is sad and true. He also has a very good receiver in CeeDee Lamb. I don't know what they're throwing up for a running game this year that's going to be much better than last year, but it's got to be better than last year because they had no running game last year. I think they have offensive line issues. I don't know that they have a truly dominant offensive line, especially like we do. I think their defense, other than losing their best player on the entire team, trading him away for a couple of lottery tickets and a washed DT is any better than it was last year. And I think getting them at home in the first game of the season is advantageous to us. I don't think that they're in a position to take us down. And I think we're going to come out guns blazing. It's at home. It's against the Cowboys. We're going to be up for it. They're going to be up for it, but I don't think they have the, power to deal with it. So win for us. Now it's a Thursday night game. So we have a 10-day delay before the September 14th game at Kansas City, because all difficult games, as you know, must be played at Kansas City.
Yes.
Correct. That's a league rule now. League ahead of league officials, Brittany Mahomes.
I call it the Taylor Swift rule.
Oh, it's Taylor now. Okay. I'm not going to pick on Tay-Tay because, you know, why do that? You know, you got Brittany Mahomes there. You don't have to pick on Tay-Tay. Anyway, I'll take the first pick on this one. I really thought about this. Rashee Rice is out for the first six games of the season. I think that's a devastating problem for the Chiefs. It was last year. I think it really affected them in the Super Bowl, that speed, and he does have precise route running, and he and Mahomes do have a lot of good chemistry. You're going to be seeing an updated offensive line for the Chiefs against our defensive line, which is also updated. I still think we have the advantage there. And you're going to be seeing a defensive line that I don't think has the depth to deal with our offensive line. I think our offensive line is one of the best in NFL football history. I really do. I think that the Hogs in the old days, back with Washington, are right up there. And I think, and please don't tell anyone I said this, the Cowboys in their big run back in the 90s had an incredible offensive line, which just made it easy for them to just dominate teams. But I think we're right there with them. And I think it's going to be a win for the Eagles at Kansas City, but it's going to be a tough one. Tim?
Yes. We catch somewhat of a break. Kansas City plays in Brazil the week before against the Chargers, which probably not a walkover. Depends what Chargers team shows up. So hostile environment. It probably start off a little rough because we all know Andy Reid and his 15 scripted plays, but I could see the Eagles pulling out a win, sending the Chiefs fans home crying again. Maybe not the easiest game, but I have it down as a W.
Okay. So far, we're 2-0. Both I and the prognosticator
here's
agree.
Where we're going to go off the rails.
This is where
I
it happens,
it.
Right here.
The prognosticator senses it.
So, a week later, LA Rams. Oh, by the way, the Chiefs game was at 4:25 p.m. The Rams game on September 21st is 1:00 p.m. on Fox. What do you think, Tim? The LA Rams at home.
That's the key. 1 p.m., West Coast game. Rams play at home the week before, so long travel, early game. I know the Rams can give us fits, but that's another win. I don't have to go into too much detail.
This is where we diverge.
I told you. The prognosticator knew it.
Yeah, well, there's this thing, and it's just in my head, but Matthew Stafford just wrecks us. I was at a game, physically at a game, where the Eagles were winning by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter against the Detroit Lions when they weren't these Detroit Lions, and Matt Stafford was playing for them. And he completely dominated us in the fourth quarter. We went and played that stupid prevent defense. He tore us up. And prevent defenses, by the way, just general comment, no. Stop. They don't work. Period. Just play your game that got you, that two touchdown lead. But anyway, he has some magic over us. I don't know what it is. I think he sold part of his soul. And coming off two tough games, because I think Dallas is going to be a tough game at home, and I think at Kansas City is going to be a very tough game because they're very motivated to avenge the embarrassing loss in the Super Bowl. I think we're gonna actually drop that game against the Rams at home. So that leaves me with a 2-1 record so far, and you with a 3-0. Now, along the same lines, we travel the next Sunday to Tampa Bay, 1 p.m. game on Fox. Again, I think Tampa Bay might be the most underrated team in the NFC, maybe the NFL. They have quite a team, and I am very respectful of how Baker Mayfield plays the game. That son of a gun will do anything he can to win a game. He'll throw his body at it. He'll run. He'll throw the deep ball. He'll extend plays with his legs. And I mean, he's a leader, and they believe in him. And he's got it together there in Tampa. And I think Tampa's defense is stout. It's going to be a real challenge for us. And again, I just think it's one of those cases where Tampa's got some magic. And this is at Tampa, and it's going to be hot. September in Tampa is not a picnic usually. And I think we lose that one too, leaving us at 2-2. What do you think, Tim? Timo!
Hold on. Eagles management just called. They want you to take that shirt off.
Well, hang loose because it gets better, folks.
Sure it does. I don't want to drop any spoilers here, but 17-0. sadly, the prognosticator agrees with Mr. Kammerer. All good things come to an end, and unfortunately, they end in Tampa Bay, where most things go to die. So, yes. Probably okay. maybe not even a close game. Just one of those ones where it just goes off the rails. Lots of cannon fire and, you know, just basic, you know, rough game. Coming off a bunch of emotional games, probably some tight ones in there. And you get just spent.
Right.
Not really a rival. Tampa Bay, not even really a rival, so to speak. You know, they're just – so one of those games you just don't get up for. And
but they seem to have our number, you know.
Too
many times, yeah. It's just, why is Tampa beating us like this, you know? And why did the Rams beat us? And why did Matt Stafford beat us? And why do we always lose one game to Washington every year? It's just strange.
Spoilers.
So the next game is October 5th, home against Denver, the Denver Broncos, the improved Denver Broncos, 1 p.m., CBS. What do you think, Tim?
Who? Well, Denver coming off probably a tough game for them on Monday night. So another break, while the schedule itself is very bizarre. If you look at the Eagles' schedule, I don't think they have two back-to-back home games, if I remember correctly.
They do not have back-to-back home games.
Which is bizarre.
They do have two cases where they have back-to-back away games.
Away games, yes. But on the flip side of the schedule, they catch some breaks and the teams they're playing come off of some short weeks. And this is one of them. And I can see Denver just kind of, I don't know. They're good, but I think the Eagles are going to be too much. You know, there's still some questions about Denver as well. Was last season just kind of one of those fluky things? You know, this is why it's difficult predicting what's going to happen in a season, because you don't know, did last year mean anything? Was it that, you know, do you have the sophomore jinx kind of thing with Denver? And, you know, is their system going to work? what they're trying to put out on the field. So I just see the Eagles being too much at that point. And if you know, and like I just said, you don't know from one season to the next, but, you know, if we have sort of a mirror of last season, maybe this is the point where the Eagles start turning it around. You have them with two losses, so.
I do.
So there would be a lot of, like, you know, people jumping off of, you know, buildings in Philly at that point. But then, you know, maybe a powerful win over Denver, you know, two or three scores at home. It's tough to call, but I have it as a win. The thing behind the scenes for this whole season is going to be everybody wants a shot at the Super Bowl champ. So, yeah. You know, the Eagles got to bring their A game every week. And like I said before, the schedule makers did no favors. So I've never seen a schedule like this. I've never seen anything where you don't have like, oh, it's a big homestand or, you know, or wow, we're not playing every game, you know, every difficult game against playoff teams last year on the road, other than I think we get Detroit at home. But that I don't want more spoiler alerts, but go ahead. What do you have for this one?
Well, I think this is a very important and dangerous game for the Eagles. Okay. I think it's almost a trap game because if you look ahead on the schedule, you got the Giants, Minnesota, and the Giants. And while Minnesota has been a productive team, what's that, Tim?
I don't want to interrupt, but you can't use Giants and trap game in the same sentence.
Well, what I'm saying is that overlooking Denver would be a bad thing to do because I think Denver really did address their defense. They have a solid defense. It's going to give us fits. I do believe in our offense still. I think we have the best weapons in the NFL. I think our quarterback room's the best. And this is even including the potential for injuries. I think our running back room with Saquon is great. And even if something, God forbid, happens to Saquon, I think we have enough depth to generate a running game with our offensive line, which is the greatest offensive line in the game right now. I think we have the best 1-2 and potentially 3 combination at wide receiver. We have a really terrific tight end and a solid backup. So I'm not particularly worried about Denver. I just hope that the mindset of the team is such that they really focus in on this game, especially with, you know, my predictions, if they come true, they're going to be 2-2 at this point. And they've got to win games now going forward, or they're just going to lose any kind of momentum. They've got to generate some momentum. So I think that starts with Denver, and I think that we do take a tough game at home with Denver. So that leaves me with a 3-2. And where are you at so far, Tim?
4-1.
4-1. Next game, though, is at the New York Football Giants. I think the Giants stink. I think they stink less than last year. I think they have some upside at quarterback going forward. I think that they drafted fairly well and got some good young players, but they're just not in the same class as we are. I don't think they have anything to offer us without wasting a lot of time in the Giants, because the Giants really don't deserve my time. I think it's an easy win for the Eagles. It's a October 9th Thursday night game. It'll be national, be on Prime. Al Michaels will get to laugh, and you know, he'll probably get bored and do something weird and funny and awesome on Prime, which we always love, because he doesn't care anymore either. And I'm going to enjoy a Thursday night win against the Giants. What do you think, Tim?
Al Michaels says, "Welcome to the NFL, Jackson Dart," after his third sack in the first quarter.
By Jason Carter.
Yeah. Ah, yes. So, yes.
Jalen Carter, sorry.
Jalen Carter, yeah. I'm not going to correct you. That's rude.
Oh, please do. Please
It's rude to correct the podcast host.
It's these garage beers, man.
Yes. Soon to be
so
a sponsor.
So, obviously, you have the Giants taking a big L.
Yes. Yeah. You know, there might be some, like, early game. No, I'm kidding. It's no, the Giants. Come on.
Crack.
Come on. So, okay. Yes, I'm at 5-1 now.
Okay. And we're getting closer again. So
as we travel to the
We travel
great
to Minnesota.
North.
On so we get 10 days again because of a Thursday night game, and we travel to Minnesota. I think the time break is beneficial to us. But what do you think, Tim? It's a 1 o'clock p.m. game in Minnesota.
Hi.
Hey.
I didn't have put a lot of thought into this one. Just it's a win. You know, I don't have a lot. There's Minnesota's another one of those in transition kind of teams, and I think this might be the year. Everybody's kind of that whole division, they've already given it over to Green Bay. You know, now especially, you know, picking up, you know, whatever, you know, like Temple of the Devil, they you sacrificed the goat to get Micah Parsons, but you know, so Green Bay clearly the class in the division, and for some reason everybody's sour on Detroit. I don't know why, but the one that gets overlooked is Minnesota, and the reason being, I think there is a lot of just like they're a team in transition. So could they surprise? Possibly. You know, the team. Generally, what happens is the league has a as all NFL fans know, that it's scheduled this way. All third place teams play other third place teams. So generally,
I'm sorry, Tim, did you say scheduled or scripted? I couldn't quite get that.
Yes. presented by DraftKings. That's generally why, you know, they're always like, oh, what new team's going to make the playoffs that didn't last year? Well, it's because you have, you know, fourth place teams, other fourth place teams. I'll bring my drink into the picture. Pepsi Zero, drink of champions. So Minnesota could benefit from an easier schedule. But at the same time, you know, what does their quarterback situation, you know, does he step it up? If not, you know, to looking at another third, maybe even fourth place, because, you know, Chicago, they're another team, but we'll talk about them, I'm sure. But so I have it as a win against Minnesota just because I don't see, you know, Minnesota having enough even at home to get by the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a win for the Eagles. I don't think that their quarterback, McCarthy, he's a rookie. I don't think he's going to he's never seen anything like the Eagles defense. It's a nightmare right. for even the best quarterbacks. I mean, as much as we kid about Mahomes, he is one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in a long time. And he could do nothing against us in the Super Bowl. We bring the pressure. We didn't blitz, but we sacked him consistently. He didn't get any good looks downfield. We disguised coverages really well. Vic Fangio just was a mastermind in what he designed to get, you know, what he designed against the Chiefs, and he'll be just as skilled against the Vikings. The Vikings do have Adam Thielen, who signed with them now. He took a pretty big pay cut so he could finish his career in Minnesota. He likes playing there. He was great there. Really super number two receiver. They have Justin Jefferson, who is one of the best receivers in the whole league. He's definitely a threat to us and any team. And I think that Minnesota has a decent defense this year. I think they've improved there. But again, I just don't see them having enough to take us down. So, yeah, I have a win as well. So I've got them at this point of the season, one game before the bye, at 5-2. Next week will be October 26, 1 p.m. game, home versus the Giants. I really feel for the Giants having to play us twice in 3 weeks. I don't know. The schedule makers are very strange this year. They have the Giants playing us twice in 3 weeks. At the end of the season, they have the Washington Commanders, whatever they're called these days. against us at the end of the season twice in 3 weeks. So I'm not going to waste any time on the Giants. They lose. And right before the bye, I have our record at 6-2.
Tim? 7-1. 7-1.
7-1.
And I would just like to go back to the Minnesota game. There's one thing I'm looking forward to in the Minnesota game. It's the first down Viking horn. I don't know. That's just kind of fun. I think every stadium should have that or something like it.
Sounds good to me. So November 2nd is a bye, and we even get an extra day off because when we come back, it's a Monday night game at Green Bay.
Frozen tundra.
In the frozen tundra of Green Bay against the Micah Parsons-led Green Bay Packers. Now, the Green Bay Packers this past year in 2024 had a pretty darn good team. They have a young team. They have a lot of energy. They've drafted well. And now they've signed one of the premier edge rushers in the entire NFL to a massive contract, which either means he's going to perform admirably or he's going to get hurt in week one and not play at all this year. So I'll have to admit, I'm glad we won't be facing him twice in the season, unless, of course, Green Bay and us make it to the playoffs together. But at Green Bay, I really struggled with this one, but I think we're pretty lights out after a bye. I think having the time between the October 26th game and the November 10th game, having 2+ weeks to heal up, to feel better, and get some people back on. Because I at this point, I think we're going to have some people that are pretty dinged up. That first half of the season was tough, other than those Giant games, and I think even in those games, you can have people getting dinged up. You never know. So having the time to heal up seems to give us some amazing advantage. The coaching staff does a great job of staying busy and staying active and putting our players in a position to win games. And I don't think the Packers, as good as they are, especially now, are going to be quite up to the task of taking us down on a Monday night game after the bye. What do you think, Tim?
I did some research on this game, really centered around the whole Micah Parsons thing. And what I found out was I pulled some SEC records, and I found that Jerry Jones bought 2 shares of the Green Bay Packers because this is the only way he feels he can get back to the Super Bowl. But here's where we go off the rails again. I know the Eagles, are generally lights out after a bye. They do really well, but it is in Green Bay. It is a Monday night game. It's one of those ones where, I never stay up to watch the end because, they always disappoint at the last second and then now you're sad at 2 a.m. But I have it down. I have Green Bay winning this one. Yes.
Well, I understand your pick and I respect your pick. Just respectfully disagree with it.
Disagree. So we'll agree to disagree.
Sure. The next week, we have a 6-day short week. We have a game at home. It'll be a Sunday night game against Detroit. Now, Detroit was very good last year. And I'm interested to see how you think we fare, especially after you have the Eagles losing to Green Bay in Green Bay the previous week. What do you think, Tim?
This is a win. I tried to stay away from all the speculation about what teams are doing. What Detroit was good last year, got kind of exposed a little bit at the end. seem to have taken a step backwards. So, you know, offensively, they can pose problems. But as you mentioned in some of your thoughts and some of the other games, the Eagles throw so much at you that I think it offsets that. The Lions defense last year got exposed a little bit. So I see it, you know, all these games are going to be close. You know, I see the Eagles winning this, especially at home Sunday night.
Well, we diverge again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I took a look at this, and I really think that the Lions, I almost picked the Eagles to win this game, especially after hearing the Lions coach say that he was legitimately disappointed in how the Lions were performing in the preseason this year. And I agree with him. They really didn't look that good. But I think at this point of the season, they're going to work out a lot of this stuff. I think he's a good coach. I think he has a good coaching staff. And I think that they're going to be together. And this is one of those games, again, where you have a team that wants to prove themselves against the Eagles. I mean, all you heard last year was that Detroit was better than the Eagles, right? And they weren't. They were exposed last year a bit. And I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. And this is going to be an opportunity for them to stab us in our hearts and yell out, "Con!" or something like that here in Philadelphia. So I actually have Detroit winning this game. I think they have a great running game. I think that their quarterback, when he gets hot, he reminds me of Nick Foles when Nick Foles used to get hot. And you just couldn't stop Nick Foles when he was hot. And, you know, same thing with their
quarterback. Just ask the Raiders.
Oh, jeez. Crazy. You know, people forget that Nick Foles has, you know, he shares the NFL record for the number of touchdown passes in a single game, 7.
Just ask the Raiders. You
know? Yeah. And also, you know, having the honor of beating the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, in the Super Bowl, where Tom Brady threw the best game ever of a quarterback in a Super Bowl, and he just slugged it out with them. So getting back to this game, though, I'm going to pick the Lions. Honestly, I could have gone either way on these first two games. I initially had us losing to Green Bay and winning against Detroit. I think at the end of the day, I think they're losing one of these games. I just happen to pick Detroit. You happen to pick Green Bay at this one. Now, moving forward a week, we're going to be at Dallas, 4:25 p.m., Fox. I think that without a whole lot of fanfare, we beat them.
Yes.
I think we beat them in Dallas. I think we beat them in a parking lot. I think we beat them in Brazil. I think we beat them anywhere. I think the Cowboys suck. And by this point of the season, we'll be in disarray because they're going to be losing a lot more than just games against us. And I think it's going to be a free-for-all on how horrible Jerry Jones is. And I do pray for the soul, or whatever's left of it, of Jerry Jones, and that he stays alive, soul or not, and continues to make all the important decisions for the Dallas Cowboys, because it makes my job as a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles much easier. What do you think, Tim?
DraftKings, the over-under number of shots of Jerry Jones crying in the owner's box in this game. It's 2. So place your bets now.
Okay. The other thing is, how many concubines will Jerry Jones have in the owner's box at this game? Over-under is 3. And if you don't believe me, there's pictures on the internet.
That's how he stays alive, you know.
Yeah.
Eats their
believe
souls.
It or not, it's not sex. It's their life force that he
yes,
that
it
he
is.
Drains.
It's life force energy. Yeah, that's why you never see him after the game. So,
okay. Moving on. Now we have a very short week. We have an odd Friday afternoon game.
The Bears.
This is on Black Friday on Prime. Al Michaels will be in attendance. What do you think, Timbo? The Chicago Bears.
I still think they're sort of scraping the bottom of the NFC North there a little bit. So I don't see this one as a particular challenge. I know the quarterback can be pesky. Let's use that word. Call him pesky. But, you know, I don't think this is one of those games where, you know, he's going to bring the magic. So if I had to circle a game other than the two Giants games and both, I don't want to say Dallas always presents some kind of a challenge, but
sure.
But this was the game I circled as probably one of the easier wins on the schedule, especially at home. The Friday thing's a little strange, but Chicago's working on Friday also. So,
yeah, I agree. I think it's a win for the Eagles. I think Caleb Williams by this point of the season should be thoroughly disgusted and frustrated with being the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I think part of it's his own problem. I think he has some issues that haven't been addressed properly by the team. Some of them were weapons, but some of them were decision-making things. Things that were self-identified by Jalen Hurts last year on his own game that he did correct. Jalen Hurts wasn't reading the field very well. He got way better at that. Jalen Hurts was running too quickly. He fixed that. There were several things in his game that just weren't where they needed to be, and he corrected them all. And I don't see Caleb Williams doing it. I see Caleb Williams still relying on his legs to get him out of trouble all the time. He doesn't have the poise that Jalen Hurts has, and I don't think Caleb Williams is anywhere near up to dealing with our defense. So I think that's going to be a pretty easy win. You know, hate saying it that way, but it really should be. The following week, then, it's going to be 10 days later. It'll be a Monday night game at the LA Chargers. And again, while they're not a horrible team, I don't think they have enough to bring to the table. It's going to be 8:15 p.m., Monday night game. We generally perform very well in front of a national audience, and I think it's going to be another win for us. Tim?
This is where the prognosticator basically got stuck. This is one of those weird games. You know, I feel like our coaching, this could come down to like coaching staff. This is why it's like one of these 50.1, 49.9 predictions. It could come down to coaching staff. I just feel like, you know, we have a little bit more to offer. You know, the Chargers are a very strange team. They can be hot, and, you know, they're very, I feel we could shut down the run game. That might be the big difference. So it comes down mainly to coaching, and then their quarterback, you know, he's definitely, you know, top tier as far as quarterbacks go, but he also tends to throw some games away. So
he sure does. Yep.
I have this as a, like I said, a 50.1% win chance. And so it's in the win column, but do not be surprised if, you know, like lightning in a bottle, weird, you know, LA travel cross country nonsense game against a team you really don't, you know, I don't think anybody hates the Chargers. I think that's the thing. You know, it's not one of those teams where it's like you say, oh, they're our rival. I don't think they're anybody's rival. The only rival they have are the people in San Diego. They're still pissed off. Like, oh, I said pissed on a boat.
That's fine.
Is this R-rated now?
Sure, that's okay. Yeah, the schedule makers obviously made it so that the Chargers have their very best chance against us by putting it as a home game for the Chargers.
Yeah,
but again, we agree. You're a prognosticator and I on a win for the Philadelphia Eagles. 6 days later, we're back here in Philly because we just seem to travel every week now.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
One of the things that's going to wear on us this season. And I think it's going to have an effect on the end of the season for us as well. Because the constant travel, you're either traveling to a destination or you're traveling from a destination. You don't have those two consecutive or three consecutive home games where you can just chill and do your thing. The next game is a 1 o'clock p.m. game home against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I don't think that the Raiders, again, they have a couple of dominant players. There's no doubt about it, offense and defense. But I still think that they don't have enough to offer to take us down on either side of the ball. They will present difficulties. It's not going to be a cakewalk. I think they're a better team than people realize. I think they're better than Chicago. I think they're better than the Giants. I think they're better than Denver, but not much. Mm. And I think they're better than the Cowboys. But I still think that we hold it together enough to have a home win against the Las Vegas Raiders. What do you think, Tim?
I think Jerry Jones is looking at the Vegas quarterback to try to bring him on. So enough said. I don't see this game as much of a challenge other than, I don't know, coming off of the West Coast, a long trip,
yeah.
But it's a home game. And,
The West Coast in 6 days,
you know, Max Headroom or Max Power, whatever his name is, the end for,
Max Crosby.
Yes. Max Crosby.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he is.
But, you know, I think our line just, I don't know. I think they eliminate his presence. They just have that ability, especially because, you know, he's their threat. So, you know, we have just that ability. Like if you don't have a multifaceted attack, especially on the defensive side, our offensive line just shuts it down. You know, this is another one of those games where it's probably going to be maddening to watch. You're going to go, why aren't we winning by 35 points at this point?
Yeah, I fully anticipate screaming at the screen saying, run the ball, run the ball.
Exactly. What are you doing? But
yeah,
they'll win. I cannot in any, you know, I don't know what universe, you know, some, you know, unless there's a Thanos snap or something, I don't see how we lose to half the team disappears. I don't see how they lose to the Raiders.
Okay. And the next game is again, 6 days later, but at least the travel is only from Philly to Washington, where we're going to be playing the Washington Commanders.
Oh, fun fact.
At their stadium.
Real quick. Fun fact. It takes almost as long to bus from Philly to Washington as it does to fly from Los Angeles. So,
I actually looked into this. They still take a charter.
Really?
Jet. Yeah. They still take a charter when they go to Washington, which is because I was talking to my son and he was asking me how they traveled, and I looked it up, and they actually do still take a charter. So
another fun fact, it takes just as long to get from the airport.
True.
To the stadium.
Philly airport, just getting through security and
onto
the plane.
I'm talking Washington.
Yeah.
This for all Beltway fans out there.
Anyway, this game is a TBD as far as the time.
Yes.
Again, any game now at the end of the season can be flexed by the league. And we're not really sure when this will be, but it will be another 6 day gap because we're going to be doing the Chargers at LA on December 8th, and then the Raiders December 14th at home, and then the Washington Commanders December 20th, Saturday game at Washington, likely going to be a 1 o'clock game. What do you think we're going to see there, Tim?
Well, sadly, the win streak comes to an end. At Washington, I don't know. I think, you know, it's a long time in the season, but I'm sure, you know, bulletin board material, they want to win this one. You know, they probably want it slightly more than we do at this point. You know, some of the other unscrupulous prognosticators, like the evil prognosticator, they predict Washington's demise this year. You know, so I don't know. You're seeing a lot of, you know, the ascension of the Cowboys. This was pre Micah Parsons, obviously, you know, and, you know, at the downfall of the Redskins, but I said piss and Redskins. Wow.
Wow.
I'm showing my age.
Yeah, you are canceled, dude.
Yeah. But yes. Yeah. Sorry. I just got this podcast canceled.
Gee, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, it's great. You know, but, you know, coming off that big win against the Oakland Raiders, the you know, the Commanders, see, it doesn't even roll off the tongue. That's the problem.
I know. It's terrible. Just say Washington.
Yes, Washington. The Washington football team. That was probably the best name they came up with for that. They, well, except in England, they're still pissed. Right? You know, they, football's a different thing. But anyway, the Washington will win this one. They just, you know, they want it more, I think, at this point.
I think the attrition due to all the travel and the rather rough schedule in general that we have.
Well, that's the thing, yes.
Comes to a head here in Washington. And the other thing is Washington just always seems to find a way to take a game from us every year.
Yeah.
A game they shouldn't really win, in my opinion, but a game that they're going to win, I think. I think we do lose the game at Washington. I am impressed with their quarterback. Daniels is a solid quarterback. He makes really good decisions. He's extremely athletic. He has all the skills. He can throw all the balls. I was just marveling at him throwing out patterns last year. That's a hard throw to make, and he was just hitting those like they were nothing. And he was giving us fits. They beat us once last year, you know, in our Super Bowl winning year. And they were good enough. Now, the thing about it is they got cocky about it. And then they come into the last game with us in the season, and they had a player or two talking about how they were the better football team. And we schooled them very similarly to how we schooled Kansas City in the Super Bowl. I still think there's a gap between us and the Redskins. I do think the Redskins are
ding,
the...
Ding, ding, ding. He said the magic word.
Yeah. I think the Redskins are the second best team in the division, followed by the Cowboys and then the Jackson Dart-led Giants. But I don't think that... I don't think we're going to be at our best at that point of the season, and I think we actually drop that game. Now we do get it's a Saturday game, so we get an extra day, but our next game is again, back to some frozen tundra up in Buffalo against a very good Buffalo Bills team. And this is a 4:25 PM game, on December 28th, last game of the year for us, not the football year, but the calendar year. And, I think, again, the Bills have something that they want to prove to the NFL. They want to prove that if it was them in the Super Bowl, they would have dealt with us differently. I think that they actually have. It's weird. I thought they had a better team last year than the Chiefs. And
yeah,
they let it get away. I don't know if the Chiefs are in their head living rent-free or what, but I thought I was looking forward to a Buffalo-Philadelphia Super Bowl. And then, oh, well, the guys in red are back again. But I have Buffalo winning this game. I think we actually have two losses in a row for the second time this season on my list. And it's going to be a troubling time for us because at this point, we're going to be 11-5. And I think... I think that the Redskins are going to be right in it, and it's going to make for a meaningful last game of the season home against Washington. What do you think, Tim?
Well, it's at Buffalo, so
that's true.
It is December in Buffalo, and as a longtime supporter of those AFC Miami Dolphins, I know a lot about winter in the north of the country, New England, the Jets, the Bills. For some reason, we're always playing in the snow, the famous snow game. So I see more of the same. It's going to be, you know, just a, you know, a slog of a game. And it's going to be a tough one, but I have it as a loss. I just, you know, I'm with you on that one. It's two losses for different reasons. And, you know, could it very easily see the Eagles winning it, but you got to go with the chalk on this one as far as, you know, Bills at home. Like you said, another game, two games in a row, team has something to prove.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we got to beat those Eagles, you know, because then they can talk about it all winter when they're not in the Super Bowl again in Buffalo. Like, well, at least we beat the Super Bowl champs. You know, you got to have something to hang your hat on when they get 8 feet of snow, you know. So, it comes out of the court. Honestly, if they're going to win the game, it's Josh Allen. He's going to do
it. For sure.
Because I don't have any faith in the rest of their, you know, the rest of their team doing something. You know, I really struggled seeing their defense shut down the Eagles' offense. But then again, you have the weather as a factor, you know. But, you know, Philly, you know, it's cold here too. So, you know, I don't know. But back to back road games, I don't know. This schedule sucked. I said it at the beginning. I said it probably in the middle of this thing. It just
and we'll say it
sucks.
Again.
Yes,
it's a.
I've never seen this. You know, like they, like you know, just to back in the day, the old Peter King Monday Morning Quarterback column where he sat down with the guy who makes the schedules. Oh, we run 100 million, you know, variations of the schedule. This is the one they picked. Okay.
Yeah.
Against Philly or anything, you know, right. Super Bowl champs. Hey, let's go on the road and play it at Kansas City. You know, but I digress.
Yeah, it's kind of like poor Buffalo having to play all but one of the recent games against Kansas City in Kansas City.
In Kansas City. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Kansas City gets every game. Oh, Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Oh, you know, whoever a good team is in the AFC South at Kansas City. It's like...
Right. The Cleveland Browns at Cleveland.
At Kansas City? Oh, yeah, at Cleveland. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So that takes us to the final game of the season, the 17th game. And I had said that it will be a meaningful game at this point. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be a meaningful game against Washington? It'll be a TBD time of day, January 4th, home against Washington. What do you think, Tim?
Well, at this point, I have the Eagles at 11.5 wins and 4.5 losses. So where does that put you? Do you need to win this game? You know, you have a lot going on. Like who comes out of the pack as far as the number one seed or the number two seed in the playoffs at this point in the season? Who's good? You want to point towards Green Bay, but that whole division could kind of eat themselves. You know, you got Detroit. We don't know what they're going to be. Minnesota, you don't know what they offer. You know, the Bears seem to sneak a win or two in there. So what's the record? Well,
excuse me, Tim. What's this wee shit? I know everything about every team. Go on.
So. What's the record of the team coming out of the North? The South, that's whoever's in the South, and we both agree it's probably Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta maybe surprises, but Tampa Bay might pile up some wins. And the West, who comes out of the West? does San Francisco have a revival this year? Are they good? So could the Eagles at this point, if, you know, if we facetiously have them at 11 and a half wins, what if they have 12? Do they need this game? So, and does Washington need this game? Does this game decide who gets the first round, like, you know, the first round bye? If that's the case, Eagles win. If nothing's on the line, you can't predict it, because does Washington care, you know, or does it matter to Washington because they want a top seed as a, you know, a wild card team? So, you know, this is the crapshoot, this 17th game crapshoot. Every year the games are either completely, why can't we just play the Giants? Because if the game's completely meaningless, yeah, the game's completely meaningless. You know, we're, you know, they're pulling people out of the stands. The guy, you know, coming down with the beers, like, hey, you know, do you want a quarterback for a couple series, you know? And yeah. And so, you know, but this game might have some meaning. If it does have meaning, Eagles win. If it
so
has
what's your
no
decision?
Meaning,
what's your
I
decision?
Have it as a win. Eagles
you have it as
win.
A win? I do too. I think it's going to be meaningful. I think the Eagles, for a change, are going to want this game to make sure that I think the seeding is going to come down to the record. And I think this leaves them. I have them at 12-5. Tim, where are you at?
I have them at 12.5 and 4.5.
But for
13-4.
You have them at 13-4. So you actually don't have that last game as being that meaningful.
No, the Chargers game, that's the game where the whole season revolves around the Chargers game. And
right. And
there is
I have a game like that too. I think that way earlier in the season, it's that Denver game. I think that their Denver's quarterback is way better than a lot of people think. And I think their defense is way better than they were last year. And that game scares me as a trap game before the Giants and Minnesota and the Giants. So, yeah, we both have games that could change the course of the season. Mine's earlier in the season. Yours a little bit later. But they're both dangerous games.
And the prognosticator said either the Eagles beat the Chargers or some like naturally occurring disaster happens and then they play the game anyway and the Chargers win. So that's why the season hinges on that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fate of the country. Spoiler alert.
God bless us all.
Yes.
Okay, Tim. So we both have them finishing the season with a win, with a very positive record. We definitely have a good team. We've seen in the past, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to turn out that way. We had a season where we dropped the last half of the season and just fell off the face of the earth. But hopefully yes. That doesn't happen again. I really think that we're set up for success this year. I think you believe that as well, even one game better than I do. I initially had us at 13-4 in my first round of picks, but I am still concerned about the depth on our defensive line. I'm concerned about the depth at running back. I'm concerned about losing a couple of just playmaking defensive backs. I'm encouraged by our linebackers. Imagine having linebackers in Philly. Wow. So cool.
Shout out to Seth Joyner.
Yeah, and Jihad Campbell is just
there,
playing lights out.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that, but yeah.
He's a great addition to this team. Super athletic guy like Juan is. And I think our offensive line's in good shape. I mean, the best in the league, good shape. So it's going to be an interesting year. And let's get together again before the end of the year.
Yeah, one.
Maybe.
I just had one final scheduling note. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year, next year, they don't get a bye week, and all their games are played in foreign countries, and they're all away games. So the schedule maker, you know, just a little insight there on how the schedule is made. Oh, and they play. I'm sorry. They play Kansas City in Kansas City. So,
right. Then that's the one.
Then the rest of the games are played in sub-Saharan Africa. So,
yeah. Oh, geez. Well, you know, I was going to say earlier, and I passed on it, but at least the one good thing about our schedule this year is we don't have a bye week in like week 4 or 5.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it does split the season up better. Having that super early bye, not a fan. So this is much better period of time. And it's before that Green Bay game, which is going to be tough. So, and that's at Green Bay, like you said. So anyway, that wraps up another episode of Pete's Pub.
And I have one.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes.
I appreciate you coming on the show and spending some time with me.
Thanks for inviting me.
I hope
me.
We do this again before the season's over. Maybe we'll catch up after the Giants game for our bye week, and we'll see how we've done so far. So save your picks, and we'll see who's closer to the truth at that point in time and see if we still feel the rest of the season is going to play out the way we said it today. Hope everyone enjoyed today's show. If you have any comments about it or suggestions for the podcast, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can drop me an email at peter.kemmerer@gmail.com. I'm always interested to talk with people with stories to tell, or we can just talk about football. I love football. The theme music for Pete's Pub is Hard Fought Victory by Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey at www.purple-planet.com. And until next time, if you can be a bass player, be one. If you can't, date or marry one. See you soon, and go Birds!